We are really fortunate that our youth band was able to help us this morning and draw us into worship. And I appreciate the practice and the work and the effort that went into it. Thanks for participating. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Pastor Bob. Let's pray, and we're going to cover a few family things, and we'll get to work. Father, thank you that we can freely come to this place today, and that we can open your word and we can wait on you. Prepare our hearts, whisper through the Holy Spirit, give your humble servants the words to say that we might know more of you today and leave challenged to live for you differently. And so we pray all of this carefully, but in accordance with your will, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Couple of quick family issues. I know that nobody is a huge fan of these black chairs, me included. And I'm sorry that it's taken a little while, but we are, as fast as possible, moving towards having our permanent chairs here. They will lock together and form a bench, and it's a whole different deal. And you'll love them when they get here, I promise. Just hang with us. And we will be looking forward to scheduling some shingling before long. This side of our building is coming off. The shingles are all curling up. When you leave, you can look up and see it. And we'll be calling for some volunteer help to strip the roof on a Friday and get it ready and then shingle it on a Saturday. And we hope you will be able to help with that. And I do want to highlight, Chris was talking to you about the baptismal service. If you're wondering about baptism, you haven't been baptized, you've been thinking about getting baptized, please email us, give us a call, talk to us, let us respond to you. This is a great step of obedience in your walk with God, one that you will be glad you took, and one that we would love to facilitate you in moving along on. So today is Mother's Day. Here's my problem. My mom goes online and listens to the messages. So everything I say is going to be heard. And so when I challenge you how to honor your mom and how to, you know, I'm holding myself to the fire here. So I've clearly identified three goals for the message this morning on Mother's Day. Here they are. I'm going to share them with you up front. And then you can tell me if we've accomplished our goal at the end. My first goal this morning is to help you keep on keeping on. I want you who are moms to leave here encouraged to continue the job of being a mom. It is a great calling. It is a sentence. Well, no, that's the wrong word. No, it's fantastic. Motherhood is of God. And you can grow weary of doing well. Sometimes your effort doesn't seem appreciated by children or husband or even by grown children. Sometimes you wonder if you're making any difference. Sometimes you can get discouraged in the keeping on, keeping on. And I want you to leave here today encouraged to continue in the role that God's granted you. I want you to know how valuable it is. I want you to know how important it is. And I want you to know that it is noticed and it is appreciated. Secondly, I want to remind you of the value that you can impart. I want you to leave valuing your mom differently in your own life. And I want moms to leave knowing that what they impart has a significant value to those that they impart it to. And finally, I want you to choose as you leave here to honor your mom. Now, here's what we all have in common. We all have a mom. Some of you will take a minute and that'll sink in. Now, we all have it in common. And I want you to leave here today making the choice that you are going to intentionally and in specific ways honor your mom and honor her role in your life as best you can. So let's get started. Proverbs, Solomon, the wise man Solomon, in chapter 1, verses 7 to 9 is going to be our key text. If you have your Bible, open it, and we'll ask you to join me as we read it together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, it's interesting that Solomon's mom is Bathsheba, and many of you know the story of David and Bathsheba. If you don't, Google it, look it up, read it in your Bible. It's quite an interesting story. But we know from the book of Kings, 1 Kings 2:19 specifically, that Solomon honors his mom. And when she comes into his court, kind of everything stops and he gives her a seat of honor. And we know there's a great relationship there. And so when he has something to say about moms and families, and it's in the Bible and it's part of the literature from the wisdom of Solomon, we need to pay attention. So let's unpack this a little bit. The first thing I want you to see is that the family model is the implication. It talks about mothers and fathers. Solomon seems to be taking for granted that fathers, mothers, and children are in a unique relationship. Now, in our culture today, there are many definitions for family, apparently. Everybody's telling you you can't, you know, impose your definition of family. And Solomon comes along, and I want you to see that throughout the Bible, there's a consistent implication here that mother, father, and children are in relationship, and that there's deference in the relationship and roles in the relationship, and that God created family. Families are God's preferred plan. In Genesis 1:27, he says he created us male and female, that we were given a task, that we were given roles. And in Genesis 2:24, it says that you'll leave father and mother and cleave to one another and form a family unit, and that this is God's idea, and that family is designed, developed, and instituted by God himself. It's God's idea. It's not one that's up for debate. It's not one that's up for redefinition. It's not one that's up for discussion. Family is the preferred model. Having said that, some of you are here today going, oh, great. That's not where I find myself. I find myself a single mom, or I find myself in a single parent family, or I find myself without a dad, or I find myself with, what do I do with this? And I want to encourage you today that while God has an ideal and a model, he knows that sin and sickness is a part of our world. And it says in Scripture that he's the father to the fatherless, and that he's everything that you need, and he's your comfort in the time of sorrow, and that he provides in and through his body, the church, and his work supernaturally, and his spirit as a role in your life, everything that you need. I want you to know that God's heart towards single parents and those who live life without the ideal is huge. And he calls his people to be compassionate and involved and caring and understanding. But that doesn't change the reality that God designed family and designed it to work with mother, father, children in unique relationship. Family model is God's model. Secondly, I want you to see that Solomon tells us families are learning centers. Now, we all know this intuitively, and it happens sometimes without our intention. But how many of you have made this comment, wow, do you ever sound like your parents? Okay, you when you're talking to somebody, how many of you thought this, oh no, I sound just like my mom or my dad? You know, when you say, because I said so, oh, I was never going to say that. It just is, okay? Families are learning centers. I do a lot of premarital counseling with couples, and I love to explore their model. Where I tell me about your folks, tell me about life at home, tell me about how it worked. Because I find that sets your default, right? That sets what you expect in your marriage and in your life. It sets you up. And so I ask questions like, well, you know, when your mom and dad fought, how did they fight? Did they throw dishes? Did they yell? Did they scream? Did they just get quiet? Did doors slam? And if their experience was vastly different, I just smile because I go, oh, are you guys in for a shocker? Because the first time somebody slams a door and yells, if you're from a family where you just got quiet, it's going to be a completely shocking event. And I try and help them come to a biblical understanding of how to fight fair and how to have a relationship. Well, families are learning centers. Whether you like it or not, you're leaving an imprint on the children. You're teaching them about honoring one another and about doing life and about disagreements and about how it's okay to act when you're tired and about how to handle finance and about integrity and about all this stuff. And Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There's words here like instruction, teaching. It sounds like a place where intentional learning takes place. And I want you to see that most things in life we are taught and we don't instinctively know. You see, we instinctively know how to be selfish. We instinctively know how to make someone aware of our specific need or desire. When we're a baby and we're hungry, we cry, right? But you're taught relationship. You're taught communication. You're taught a language. You're taught what's acceptable and what's unacceptable. And that teaching happens in the family. You see, family is not just a place for food, shelter, and clothes. And herein is where our cultural model is really departing from God's model. You know, way back when he says, when you enter this land I'm giving you and you set up and experience the blessing I want to give you, I want you to impress these things on your children and write them on your door frames. And he says, talk about them when you lie down and when you walk and when you eat. And the implication is you're going to do life together and you're going to do stuff together. And while you're doing life, you're going to be talking about and teaching intentionally what's important. He goes on to say further in Deuteronomy, I think it's 5 or 6, 20 in there somewhere, that when your son or daughter asks you about these commands the Lord has laid in your heart, tell them so they won't forget and tell them so that things may go well for you in the land and I can bless you. There's an intentionality. And in our culture, we've said, well, as long as they're enrolled in school and enrolled in sports and we drop them off at youth and take them to Sunday school and we give them food, shelter, and clothing, we'll let everyone else help them identify their value structure, how to act. We'll let the school discipline. We'll let the... You know what? This is supposed to happen in families. There's supposed to be instruction and teaching about doing life. And I want you to see that in the Family Learning Center, Solomon starts by saying the foundation for this teaching is the fear of the Lord. Verse 7 says knowledge starts here. Now, in the book of John, there's a word that's used for knowledge, or I pray that you might know. And I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to unpack it one more time because some of you might have missed it. There's four levels in the original language to the term that you might know. The first is that you just might have the facts. Now, I might tell you that airplanes can fly, and you have now been given the fact that airplanes fly. The second level to know would be that you're told airplanes fly, but not only do you know the fact, you've seen an airplane go across the sky, and so you say definitively, yes, airplanes fly, and I've witnessed it. The third level to that word or that understanding would be an understanding of physics and how it's possible that they fly. So you would understand lift and aerodynamics and thrust and know that not only can airplanes fly, and I've seen them fly, but I understand how they stay in the air. And the final level of understanding, I pray that you might know, would have to do with getting in an airplane and actually flying. Because at that point, you could describe the sensation and the emotion and the experience. It's happened to me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Knowledge starts with the fear of the Lord in the family structure. That is the foundation for counsel, for instruction. It is the baseline. It's a commitment to truth to say in your home, in your family, as you teach and instruct, as you prepare for the future, the Bible is true, and we are going to live our lives in accordance with what God says, what God commands, and in submission to God's authority. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. I fear sometimes that we haven't made Scripture the baseline for our teaching and our instruction. And we leave our children open to this. We leave them open to falling for a better argument. Oh, they go away to university or they go to high school. And somebody says, well, have you considered this? And have you considered this? And what about this? And there's this and there's this. And while I want to entertain all questions, I want my kids to come back to this understanding. The Bible is the ultimate authority. This is God's word and this is truth. This is the basis for blessing. This spells out consequence. This is the bottom line. And the only way I can impress that on my children, moms and dads, is to live that way in our home. Yes? And to teach that way in our instruction and our teaching. For then they can say, that's a good argument. You make a great point. But ultimately, God has decided the issue. And that is who I follow. And finally, the foundation for teaching the fear of the Lord. When that is the model, surrender and obedience is what's modeled for the kids. Let me just be really clear. Some of my good friends are RCMP officers, and we hang out lots together. And one of the things that discourages them deeply in their work is the complete lack of respect or lack of deference to the law. I talk with teachers, and they say the same thing. There just is no acknowledgement that there's anyone in authority over them. That everyone's opinion matters and that what I want to do, I want to do, and you can't tell me anything, and that that's somehow valid. I want you to know, folks, that if you model in your home an obedience to the Word of God and a surrender to the authority of God, you will also model a putting your spouse in front of yourself, putting your family's needs ahead of your own. You'll also model standing for truth, and you'll model this mutual submission, this surrender to God, this obedience in your actions, in little things like your kids watching you write a tithe check, in the little things like your kids watching you say, no, we're going to meet with the family of God this morning, in the little things. And when they watch that modeled, they're able to live that out in their life differently. I just don't know how I could say this in a more impacting way. The foundation for the teaching in the home has to begin with the fear of the Lord, where the Bible is true, God's word is authoritative, and the family unit as a whole operates on a baseline of truth in mutual submission to the authority of God and in obedience to what God asks of us. This is key, key stuff. Well, now I want you to know that there's two teachers in the school. Fathers and mothers. Children, you didn't get mentioned. I like the radio station in Edmonton that doesn't take any requests. What radio station is it, Shelby? They say, we are the DJs, you are the listeners. Jack FM. And I always tune to it when I go to Edmonton because their tagline is, we pick the music, you listen to the music. So don't phone us and request a song. We're the DJs, you're the listeners. We're going to... Kids, in the learning center of the family, there are two teachers, two instructors, mom and dad. It says, fathers instruct and mothers teach. Here's what I want you to know. Both of them have to support the same principles. Have you ever had your kids try and do an end run on you? You know? where mom said, you can't do this until this and this and this happens, and dad didn't know, so they come to dad. Daddy, do you think we could go to Blockbuster and get a movie? Wow, sure, dear. You're just wonderful. And then you hear mom say, I told you that wasn't happening until your room was clean. And they do an end run on you. Now, that's a humorous example, but let me tell you, there's absolute devastation that happens when one parent is winking at sin or winking at rebellion, or where you're divided on the issues of discipline and consequence. Folks, there's one school, but both teachers have to be teaching out of the same book. It says, fathers instruct, mothers teach. I want you to know that they both have to support the same principles, both active and involved in the learning teaching process. And then, as all of you here today have a mom, I want to talk about the student's role according to Solomon's words. It says, fools despise wisdom and discipline. I want you to know right up front that if you think it's okay to operate in rebellion because our culture has somehow idolized it, you're absolutely wrong. If you think sowing your wild oats is just part of being a youngin', and it's okay for me to just reject mom and dad and go my own way for a while, it's a normal part of doing life, you're wrong. In fact, Satan wants you to believe that, and the culture wants you to embrace that. Let me talk very, very clearly for a second. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. I don't care how old you are, there's probably a certain amount of wisdom for life and discipline in action that parents can impart to children. And you are an absolute fool, according to Scripture, to be rejecting that for your own ideas. It says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Well, the first part of the student's role is, if you decide you're not going to be a fool and you're going to pursue wisdom, is to hear, to open your ears and listen. Now, just think for a minute. How much time have you spent dialoguing with your parents, if they're with us, in the last month? Just think. Can you recall any significance from the conversation? Solomon says something really cool. He says, listen and do not forsake. To listen is to hear, to open your ears and to be receptive to. And if your parents are still with us and you talk to them, make it a point to listen to what they have to say, to hear their stories, to seek out what they're trying to impart to you, to ask them to leave a legacy in your life. But it goes a step further than just hearing it. It says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. I will give a little disclaimer here. Yes, Mom, I hear you. No. Always, this is filtered according to Scripture, the baseline, the truth. And if your parents don't know God and they're trying to give you advice contrary to God's word, God is always the ultimate authority. But that is the exception most of the time. What does it mean to do not forsake your mother's teaching? I think that we try really hard to leave legacies. You know what a good evidence of that is? The family planning for retirement and for, you know, wills and estates. There's a whole business out there where people are very careful about what they're going to leave and how they're going to leave it and what they're going to do, and they spend time planning and strategizing and minimizing the tax damage and doing, how am I going to pass this on? I want you to know that as a listener, as a student, you're commanded to not only hear, to open your ears and listen, but to ingrain the lessons and to keep them during your life. It says, do not forsake. You see, the temptation that Satan will give you is to rebel against this teaching, to go with the culture, to kind of have them talk to you or sit down with them across the table or hear them trying to impart something to you on a trip and hear, wah, 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 right? And your temptation is to slip the iPod in one ear so you kind of hear them over here, but you got what you really want to listen to here? To ignore what is being taught because it might be out of touch for you or irrelevant in your life. I want you to know God takes this seriously. You see, God designed the family unit. He gave mom and dad roles. He assumed you were going to work as a school, that there would be instruction based on the fear of the Lord. And he went so far as to say in the Big Ten, Exodus 20, Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. You see, the reason this is so important is your family is designed to experience blessing. It says that if you listen to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching, that it will look great. It says they will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. In today's vernacular, bling. Right? You get some bling if you do this. The garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Have you ever thought that not only is that something really special for you, but it's something that's easily viewed by everyone around you and seen by others? You see, he gets right down to it in Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. It says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it might go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. God has given a command with a promise. Honor brings blessing. It is a great truth. And the legacy for children is this, for us to honor our father and mother not only looks good, not only is noticed by others, but brings great blessing. Blessing from God is promised when you keep this command. So let's ask the big question. So what? Okay, Mom, if you're here today, I want you to keep on keeping on. I want you to know that teaching and modeling God to your family is a role you're chosen for by God Himself. Now, I know that you can easily become discouraged with it. I know you might have adult children that have walked well away from God, and your heart is broken for the choices and consequences of their life. I know that you might feel like giving up today, and that you might come in saying, another Mother's Day service, great. But I want you to keep on keeping on, being faithful in prayer, faithful in the model of your life, faithful in walking through difficulty with God so that your whole family can see it. God has a role. And He's designed the family as a learning institution. And you don't retire or hand your credentials in. You're a teacher for life. Let me encourage you to keep on keeping on, for a difference can be made. Secondly, children. Again, who of you here are children? It's interactive. Every hand should go up. You all have a mother. Mark the messages and value them. Listen, if your parents are older, invest some time in hearing their stories and finding out what their legacy is. hearing the account of their life. If you're younger and you have parents who are still doing life, pay attention. Listen. Engage. Mark it down. Understand that there's great blessing in learning in the family environment. And if you have fallen into the trap of Satan, the deceit, the lie that says, everybody rebels, it's okay. Man, rebuke that truth, or that untruth. Rebuke that lie. Embrace the truth that you can honor your father and mother, that you can be a learner in the family institution where fathers instruct and mothers teach, that you can grow and develop not only in your walk with God, but your life and your choices, and that you need not be suffering the consequences of sinful behavior simply because you bought the lie of the enemy that it's cultural and it's okay. Not forsaking means embracing. How are you doing at it? And as God's children who are commanded to honor your parents, how are you doing at that today? Because this takes purpose. Now let me just camp here for a minute. Did you know that how you talk about your parents, your in-laws, in your home, is how you're making it okay for your parent, your kids to talk about you with their children down the road? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about when you're sitting around the table and you're going, oh, great, grandpa and grandma are coming? Or somebody has said that. I'm not saying who, but somebody. No. Yeah. Have you ever thought that how you speak about authority in your home sets a pattern for how your kids view authority? If you sit in your home and you say, well, that teacher, they don't know anything anyways. You don't need to listen to them. That's just ridiculous. Or that youth pastor, or that pastor, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You give the kids permission to say, great, I can reject all of that. Know that how you treat your parents and how you honor your parents is setting a pattern for how your kids are going to honor and treat you. This isn't rocket science. And the Bible commands us to be in submission to one another, to teach in the fear of God and instruct in with a baseline for truth. But it teaches us to respect and to honor our parents. And how you do that in your home, in your conversation, with your time, makes a difference. The question is, are you willing to sacrifice, to plan, and to, with intention, honor your mother and your father? And if you are, from the youngest person left here in the room to the oldest person in the room, how are you honoring your mom today and this year? And how will a recommitment to honoring her change what you do today? Now, it may be that your mom has passed away, and the best thing you can do to honor her is to spend some time with her memory, to recount some of the great stories. It may be that your mom isn't here. Mine's not. And the best thing you can do is burn up the phone line for a while, or maybe even sit and organize your thoughts and say, here's the things, here's some memories, here's something I appreciate and I want to say thank you for today. Maybe your mom is with you today, and you've been thinking all morning, when I get done with lunch, I'm going motorcycling. I'm going to get the quad out. I'm going for a ride. I'm getting out. And you're going to stop and say, wait a minute, what could I do that would make my mom feel honored and appreciated today? Because Scripture says this, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, here's how I want to close the service. I want all of us that are here that aren't moms to stay seated. I want all of us that are here that are moms to stand. You can stand if you're a mom. It's interactive. I told you it would be. Yeah. And part of honoring this morning is for you to join me in prayer as we pray for the moms that are standing. And so all around the room, the moms are standing, and I want the rest of you to bow your heads and join your hearts with mine as we pray for them. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, around this room stand women who you have given a role to. You've called them to this specially designed, chosen by you, role of being a mom. You've given them the unique opportunity to teach, to instruct, to model, and to mold another life. And in many cases, we feel so unworthy. And today, I want to thank you for the calling of that role and the choosing of these people and the honor it is to know them and to serve alongside them. Father, as they endeavor to follow you, would you make clear to them your word? Would you give them opportunities to reinforce the truth, to speak about relationship with you? Would you allow them to show authentically how to walk through difficult days? And would you allow them the grace to experience disappointments with you? Would they be a model of how to recover from mistakes and how to gently and humbly walk with their God? And would you empower them and encourage them to keep on keeping on? And Father, today, would you give all of us the ability to honor our parents in a new way? Would you remind us of the significance of the teaching of our moms and the things that they have passed on, and even through strained relationships or long-standing difficulties, would we find something that we could honor, where we would be obedient to you and pleasing to them, and so experience your blessing in our own lives? And so we thank you that this morning we can have a time set aside to honor moms. Would your blessing rest upon them? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.